so good to see all of you here this morning. What a wonderful period of worship this has been so far. And I am very grateful to the men who have led us in worship this morning. I'm grateful to all of you who have come here this morning and have joined hands together in worship and participated in our worship to God. And our prayer is that God has been pleased with our worship this morning. But I know that it has been something very encouraging to each one of us, certainly as it has been very encouraging to me. And as we continue in the worship hour, let's continue to have the right kind of spirit and to continue to grow the way that God would have us to grow because of the power of this fellowship. Tonight, we have a very special speaker, and I will say who that is. You can figure that out if you don't already know. But the topic will be one of encouragement. And I've said before, I've never been over-encouraged. And so hopefully we'll be just encouraged a little more this evening. Want to ask you to come be here this evening, support our speaker. It is the fifth Sunday. And as most of you know, the contribution today is specifically set aside for our local work right here in the community of Laverne in evangelism and in benevolence, that we can just continue to grow in more effectively reaching out right here to this community where God has placed us. And so I want to let you know, if you didn't know that, and you would like to maybe give more to the cause of the spread of the gospel and good works here in the city of Laverne, I'm certain you can talk to our elders this morning, and they will be happy to facilitate you being able to do that. So, you know, no gift is too large. Also, no gift is too small. Always keep that in mind. I'm happy that my mother's here today visiting with us. It's always nice when some family drops in. To be able to see them here. You know, when you're a preacher, you don't get a chance to go visit relatives in other churches very often. You have to plan those dates very carefully because you have responsibilities right here at home, which all is perfectly fine and delightful. That being the case, it's great when someone comes to visit here that I wouldn't get to worship with regularly, although I do get to see my mom, you know, pretty often. That's nice. All right. Well, we're summarizing, we're completing, we're culminating, we're finishing, we're going to be done with whatever phrase you want to use this morning with our series on prayer. All through the month of September on Sunday mornings, we've been pursuing prayer. We've been pursuing a deeper understanding of prayer. We've been trying to gain the knowledge that will help us to have a richer life of prayer and a better understanding of what to expect in our prayer life. And this morning we're going to culminate that series in the lesson that really has been the title of the series all along. First of all, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls or another large waterfall? Feel free to raise your hand if you want to. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls or to another large waterfall? Well, there's a scattering of us in here. I've been to see some fairly sized waterfalls, but I've never been to Niagara Falls. But I have heard the sound of a waterfall large enough and loud enough to know how water can roar. And if you have been to a place like Niagara Falls, you know that water can really roar with some outrageous sound. It can drown out, no pun intended, all other noises around you and just be deafening with the roar that comes from the sound of that water falling just from a higher place to a lower place. I want you to consider the words of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Now, this is the context where the Apostle John is beginning to receive the revelation that he wrote down for us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He begins in verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Now the book of Revelation is full of vivid visual symbolism like this. And each one of these descriptions of Jesus appearing in Revelation to John to give him the message of the revelation stand for something about his nature. They stand for something about his power, about his character. And it's fascinating to me that John said his voice was like roaring waters. And I think of the sound that comes from a large waterfall, the roar of the waters. Or if you've ever been rafting down the Ocoee or some whitewater rafting trip, the sound or the roar of those waters as it tumbles over the rocks. It's loud. It's deafening. That's what John said about the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, many people want to hear the voice of God. In fact, I dare say we all want to hear the voice of God at some point. And I can tell you that there is something very specific I want to hear from the voice of God. I want to hear on Judgment Day Him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." If those are the first words I hear the Son of God speak on Judgment Day, oh, that will be so satisfying to me. And as children of God, that's what we're longing for. We want to hear the voice of God say those words. But you know, I think all of us would love it if we could hear the voice of God this side of eternity. And there are a lot of folks today that are trying desperately to believe that they're hearing the voice of God speaking to them audibly. But we need to understand, in ancient times, God did speak directly to the apostles and the prophets and the old patriarchs. He spoke to Moses in a very special way, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And all of that was to accomplish the purpose of God revealing Himself. Hebrews 1 tells us that finally in these last days, God has spoken through His Son. We understand from the chapters of 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John that even as the apostles spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that those things had been taken from Jesus Himself. And when the last apostle finished the last letter in the New Testament, or the last New Testament prophet wrote the last book of the New Testament, God's revelation to man stood at that point complete. We have to understand that there is great significance to passages like Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, Proverbs 30 and verse 6, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Those three passages in the Bible, one in the first section, one in the middle, one in the end. And I don't believe that's a coincidence at all, that say don't add to His words and don't take away. And the warning is given us there at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation that anyone who adds to His words or takes away from His words, to him will be added the plagues that are written of in this book. We believe because of what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that God's Word is a sufficient guide. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. You see, I can hear the voice of God. I hear the voice of God as it has been recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit on the page of Holy Scripture. And there is coming a time. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians, that when Christ comes again, He'll shout. We'll hear the voice of God. And then all of humankind will be assembled before His throne. Again, we'll hear the voice of God pronouncing judgment upon all the human family. And so until Christ returns, brothers and sisters, we're not to be listening for an audible voice from God to guide us. We're supposed to be listening to His written Word. It is all sufficient and it is finished. And it contains everything that we need to know in order to live a righteous life. Everything. So what we need to do is study. Not constantly try to tune things out and hope that we will hear the voice of God speaking directly to us as if the Word itself is not sufficient. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that there aren't ways that God speaks to us personally through providence. Now, providence is what we call the activity of God in our lives to bless us, guide us, and discipline us according to the Word. Now, God is most certainly active in His creation today. He is most certainly blessing the lives of His children. He is most certainly answering our prayers. Therefore, God is very powerfully active in our world today for good, for the sake of the spread of the gospel into the kingdom. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, not the Spirit Himself. The Spirit works actively. He uses the medium of the Word to accomplish His mission in bringing souls to Christ. But it is the Spirit Himself who works in and through the Lord's church. And when we pray to God, God causes all things to work together for good, right? Romans 8:28. So God's very active. He's active providentially. That is, He is answering our prayers. He's providing for us. He's protecting us. He's giving us open doors of opportunity. And He's closing doors that He doesn't wish us to walk through. And though none of that is verbal communication, God is not saying, Josh, you personally go do this, or you personally go do that, or you personally refrain from doing this, or you personally, I'm talking to you, you don't do that. That's not the way God speaks to me. But God through His Word, and God through His Word, as I understand providence, does speak to us in very loud ways. Now, deafening silence is a term that most of us are familiar with in the context of our world today. And it is a phrase that means a silence or lack of response that reveals something significant, such as disapproval or a lack of enthusiasm. That's according to the Free Dictionary. All right, so let me illustrate what that means. Have you ever been with a group of friends and said, let's go eat at a particular restaurant? Maybe a Blue Coast burrito, for instance. And the response to that request is silence. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right. So is that silence meaning that there is no opinion in the matter? Now we know that silence means something, and we might call it a deafening silence because the person is not enthused about the suggestion of the choice of a restaurant that someone may want to go eat at. And so, you know, you can say a lot of things without saying them. And sometimes you may, someone may tell a dirty joke. We don't need to be listening to or approving of dirty jokes. We don't have to rebuke the person that says something we don't want to listen to. But when we're silent at the punchline point, doesn't that say a lot? Isn't that something of a deafening silence? I think so. In chapter 7 of The Last Man by Mary Shelley, she wrote these words, and I quote, "The silence of midnight, to speak truly, though apparently a paradox, rung in my ears. The silence of midnight rung in my ears." Now we use all kinds of sayings like that. We understand what they mean. Now a paradox is something that seems contradictory, but that is actually true. And so when we talk about a deafening silence, it's a paradox. We're talking about something that sounds contradictory, because how could silence be deafening? But it is true, because some silences speak very loud. A lot of things is communicated in silence. You know, there have been moments in my life when I've heard or seen something that left me speechless. I remember standing in my living room on September 11th, 2001, and watching the scenes of that attack on the towers in New York City. And I watched live as the second plane slammed into that building. And I want to tell you, if you had been standing there looking at my face, it would have said a lot. But I didn't have a word to say. It was a deafening silence. And it was something that spread all across this nation. And I know you've experienced things like that too. So deafening silence refers to a silence that is actually a means of saying something. It's what poets have called the silence so loud. So I want to ask you a question this morning. This is really the central question of this whole sermon. Have you ever thought that maybe silence from God is at least sometimes actually a means of Him saying something to you? The first thing that I want to get across this morning is that when God's children pray to Him, listen now, He always hears and answers. There is no exception. When God's children pray to God, He always hears and He always answers. And even when His answer is silence, it's an answer that teaches us something vital for our spiritual growth. I want you to consider several passages of Scripture with me. First of all, Matthew 21, verse 22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. That's a pretty straightforward promise from the Son of God. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now this is just an expansion on the promise of Jesus. John gives us a little more information. There is that anything according to His will thing that is included that we need to understand. In the book of James chapter 4 and verse 3, he wrote, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." So we can say that asking wrongly, that is for something selfish, something lustful, something that will provoke your pride, something that will actually distance you from God and distance you from what ought to be the case in your life. God's not going to give you something that's going to harm you. So when you ask for something that is not good, that's not asking according to God's will. That's not asking in faith. And therefore, God's not going to give you that thing. I want us to look at the book of Luke chapter 18. If you've got your Bibles, open to the book of Luke chapter 18. We're going to read the first 8 verses of this chapter and hear this word from the Son of God. Luke 18, beginning in verse 1. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Verse 2. "He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man,'" verse 5, "'yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?'" Verse 8. "I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." In other words, he will answer in fairness. He will answer what's just. He will answer what's right. And he will not delay in doing it. From these passages, we learn several important truths about prayer. First of all, we learn that God hears and answers prayers prayed through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, children of God, when we're striving to live the life that God wants us to live, and no, none of us have achieved perfection, but when our love for the Lord is real, our belief in Scripture is true, and we're striving to live out this life, when we offer prayers to God in this mindset, in this environment of faith, we have the bountiful promises of Scripture that God hears, that He will hear, that He always hears, that there's no exception, that He will answer those prayers. We have that confidence. This morning, if you're a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago. There are promises to you in your relationship with God. You have the intercession of the Holy Spirit in your prayer life and the mediation of Christ in heaven beside the throne of the Father in your behalf. And I'll tell you, that's the recipe of a very powerful and effective prayer life. The second thing that we learn is that if you prayed and have heard only silence from God, it may be this deafening silence that we're talking about. Maybe God is actually trying to tell you something. What could He possibly be trying to tell you? Well, first of all, I just want you to consider. Maybe He's saying that you're actually not right with Him. Maybe He's saying that you're not right with God. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Now, if you're living in blatant, willful fornication, if you're nurturing an evil frame of mind, a vengeful spirit, if you're living in drunkenness and rebellion against God in some blatant sin and you know it, all I can say to you is that I can't offer you any promises from God. I appreciate the scripture reading this morning. Verse 12 of 1 Peter 3, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." Did you hear? The eyes of the Lord are on you if you're one of His children in faith. And His ears are open to your prayer. But listen, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When someone comes and sits in my office and says, you know what, I'm really struggling with something. And I've been praying for this. I've really been praying. And God isn't answering my prayer. Listen, I'm not being accusatory. I'm not judging. But the first thing we're going to talk about is your life right with God? Are you right with Him? Or are you clinging to some sin that is keeping you separate from God? Because if you are, it's not that God's ignoring you. It's that God is simply fulfilling what the Scriptures say. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to say, get your life right. And my eyes will be on you. And my ears will be open to your prayer. I hope that makes sense. Maybe it's not that you're wrong with God. Maybe that it's just that you're not asking right. And when I say that, I don't mean that there's some kind of magic formula that binds God to do exactly what you ask Him to do. There is no such thing. God is God, and He's always going to do what's right. And none of us know how to pray as we ought to pray. Romans 8 teaches us. None of us do. So none of us have mastered the verbiage that we need in order to impress God in our prayer life. Does that make sense? None of us have done that. But the Bible does tell us in the passage that we read from the book of James chapter 4 verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So say, young ladies, you got this boyfriend and he's so cute and you love him so much, but he won't treat you right. And you're praying to God, God, make him treat me right. God, make him be the one that I marry. And he doesn't change. And it doesn't seem to be moving in the right direction. Maybe it's because this isn't really what's best for you. Maybe because God knows that this is a relationship that is going to result in bad things in the future. Well, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. But maybe God's trying to tell you something. Or you say, you know what? Finances are tight. God, Lord, we could sure use a bountiful blessing from you. If only, God, you'd open the doors of heaven and you'd pour out a blessing on us because we really need more money. But even though the bills are tight, even though you're in debt, God knows in your heart what you really want is a new bass boat. And that you got the idea that you wouldn't miss church very often on Sunday to go fishing, maybe just every now and then. You think God is going to say, sure, what you need is a bass boat. That's just the best thing for you. Well, you know better than that. God's not going to give you that thing because you're asking with the wrong motives. You're asking for something that's going to be harmful. Maybe it's that you're asking right. And even that your motives are right. Are you listening? Maybe you're asking for something good and even your motives are right. But maybe God wants you to learn patience and trust. Well, you remember 2 Corinthians 12 when the Apostle Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh that he asked God three times to remove? You remember God's response to him? No. My grace is sufficient for you, for strength is perfected in weakness. God told the Apostle Paul, I'm not giving you what you ask for because not giving it to you is something better for you. Because it's teaching you not to rely on yourself, but to lean on me, to trust in me, and have patience in my good grace, in my good providence. Or maybe it's something as simple as you're asking right, but God knows that you're actually not ready to receive the blessing. Maybe you're asking for a husband or a wife. God knows that in your spirit you're still too selfish. You're not going to be a blessing to another person. Let me tell you, a marriage relationship, a successful relationship like that is not about someone meeting your needs. It's about giving you the opportunity to grow in Christ by emptying yourself of selfishness to meet somebody else's needs. And that's what God wants for you. Maybe you need to be tried. Maybe you need to grow in patience. Maybe you need to learn to empty yourself. Maybe you need to have more love in your heart before God unleashes you upon somebody else. And so there are a lot of things that God might say to us in the way that He answers our prayers or in the ways that He may be silent as we pray to Him. And if our mindset is, God is ignoring me, no, we're wrong. You're wrong about that. God's not ignoring you. God's listening. And God is active. And God is involved in your prayer life. And He is saying to you something one way or another. But maybe the truth is simply this. That you think God has been silent. When He actually hasn't been silent at all. And that leads you to really the second thing that I want to get across this morning. You know, even when some people think that God has been silent in response to prayer, often His answer has been as deafening as Niagara Falls. We just haven't opened up our eyes to look and think about it. You know, we've looked this morning and throughout the month of September, we've been in the Bible. Every week, it's where we need to be. We've looked at Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. We've come to understand what God has to say to us about prayer. We've seen the promises that God has made to us in prayer. We've learned about intercession and mediation. We've learned the importance of faith in our prayer life. We've seen the beautiful character of God in being willing to grant our petitions. But I want us to spend the next few minutes looking at another book. What's called the Book of Remembrance. They say hindsight is 20/20, right? That's only if you turn around and take a look at it. Listen now. Think of the times that you barely escaped death. And everything from maybe a playground accident to traffic incidents. Remember your prayers for protection? Maybe it wasn't your prayer at all. Maybe it was your mama's prayer for your protection. You ever thought about that? Maybe you weren't so wise in your youth after all. Think of how many times that you didn't know how you were going to manage to pay some bill only for things to suddenly work out. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. I lost count a long time ago. Or maybe it's even a time when you couldn't pay a bill when you needed to or on time. And yet, things still worked out. You're still alive. You still had food, clothing, and shelter. And in time, God blessed you. Things got caught up. Let me tell you, if you're struggling financially this morning, as many people in the city of Laverne are, get your life right with God and put your faith and trust in Him. And make sure you each day do what you ought to do, to be responsible for yourself. And God may let you go through long valleys and periods of struggle, but God, Matthew 6:33 promises you that if you seek first His kingdom and righteousness, He'll add all that stuff to you. He'll take care of your food, clothing, and shelter. You don't have to worry about that. I'm not saying He's going to buy you a Lexus or a BMW. God never promised to buy anyone a Mercedes-Benz, as the old song goes. You know, we know of the wars and the famines and earthquakes and disasters that have happened. But how many have not occurred because of the prayers of the saints? See, I'm confident that if we knew every war that had been avoided, every disaster that had been averted because of the prayers of the saints, I'm confident we would have a much different picture of what we sometimes might think is the silence of God. God has answered so many prayers, more than we can count. Typically, it's just us. We don't have our eyes open to see. Think of a loved one that you prayed for who wasn't healed. And who died. But now, think of the three or four times that loved one was ill before the fatal illness. And God did answer the prayers for healing. Amen. And that loved one was spared for a while. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed that a man wants to die. I can't pray to God, my loved ones will never die. It's not according to His will. But God has spared so many of my loved ones for longer periods of time. They could have been gone so much sooner. Thank God for answering those prayers. And brothers and sisters, we need to learn to open our eyes and see that God is very active. And I could go on and on and on. What we need to have solidly settled in our minds is the fact that God's promises in Scripture will never be broken. God will always do what He's promised to do. And to charge God with ignoring prayers, listen now, is the sin of unthankfulness, or it's just plain impatience, or it's short-sightedness. One of the three. It is never, nor has it ever been, nor will it ever be the failure of God to keep His Word. We've got to open our eyes and learn to look at things spiritually. We've got to open our eyes and read and study the Word of God and discern the promises that God has actually made. You see, so many times when a believer charges God with having failed him or her, it's because they've expected something from God that He never promised to begin with, because of ignorance of His Word. And so the fault is not in God. It's in us. You've heard of wrestling in prayer, right? We need to wake up and remember. Be like Jacob. When you're involved in prayer with God, wrestle. And keep wrestling. And as this one preacher said, don't quit wrestling with God in prayer until He gives you a blessing and leaves you with a limp. That's when you can move on. The old preacher in the 1800s, Spurgeon, said about our prayers, quote, "If you look at them with an honest eye, you will be struck with wonder that ever God should have heard them. Most of us would have to admit," that's the end of the quote, "most of us would have to admit that our prayers are far too often weak and selfish and impatient. I have to confess that's often the case with my prayer life." And you know, when I think about that from a just and a fair and a righteous standpoint, it blows my mind that God even bothers to listen to me at all. But yet He does, because He's a God of grace. And not only does He listen, but He answers them all. He answers all of them. Either directly through something that is visibly obvious, the desired answer of our prayers, and brothers and sisters, more often than not, that's exactly what God does. Exactly what we're asking Him to do. Exactly in the way that we ask. But even when God is silent for a time, or when the answer comes in a way that we did not expect, or maybe we didn't ask for, we've got to have trust in God to be thankful. We've got not to be short-sighted or impatient, but to look at things in a spiritual way and realize that God may be trying to teach us the most vital lesson of our spiritual lives. This may just be the valley of the shadow of death, in which God calls us to be like David and know Him and trust Him and have faith so that we can fear no evil. But if God doesn't ever let me walk through the valley of the shadow of death, how will I learn that lesson? Do you see? It's about faith. It's about wrestling with God. And His providence isn't in the least silent. Please listen. If the combined answers to every faithful prayer ever prayed throughout the world today were converted to the audible voice of God, He would shout with a noise greater than Niagara Falls. And this whole world today is full of the answers to the prayers that saints have prayed to God through the centuries. And our prayers have shaped this world, and our prayers can continue to shape this world. Believe that. There is great power in godliness. I don't know if you've been listening to God, but that's what this series is about. I challenge you to open your ears, to wrestle, to pray, to believe. God's not that unrighteous judge. Never give up in your prayer life. He will not delay long, but He will answer you justly. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you have the confidence that God is hearing your prayers? Get your life right with God. If you need to repent of some sin and receive the prayers of the church, we'll gladly pray with you this morning. Things will be right between you and your God. And you can get on your knees this afternoon and know that God is, His ear is tuned to your prayers, that He's looking over you with favor, and that he's going to answer the things that you ask. This morning, if you're not a child of God, again, you don't have the intercession of the Spirit or the mediation of Christ, confess your faith in Jesus this morning. Make the decision to turn away from sin and repentance and say, "I want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins." We'll go in this baptistry behind you. I'm going to tell you that water's warm and comfortable. More importantly, through faith, you'll encounter the blood of Christ there and your sins will be washed away. Do you need to respond to the invitation this morning? If you do, don't hesitate. Please come as together we stand and sing.